Through Me by Michael Davis.
Stop engines! Stop engines, stop! Put her head to the sea, quartermaster!
More easy, Captain! Head to the sea it is!
Get that ring, you lot! Open up those drums and get that stuff over the side! Come alive, lads! Come alive!
A flare, Captain! We've been spotted!
Move it! Come on, get at them!
This is the master of the old vigilant speaking. What are you dumping, Captain?
Double it up, lads! Keep it moving!
We have you on film, Captain. You will be reported to the authorities in your country of registration.
Why don't you shut off and mind your own business? Spike the rest of the guns, both them! Dump them!
I'm home.
In the kitchen, Harry.
Hi, Maggie. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How was the journey? Did you find the car all right?
I did. No problem leaving it.
Oh, Mavis followed me to the station last night and brought me back home. Oh, put these over there, will you?
Yeah, sure.
What's the latest on Dot Morgan? Have you spoken to anyone?
Well, I met the factory's nursing sister coming off the train. She went with him to the burns unit at Chepstow. He's in a pretty bad way, I'm afraid. First degree burns to his hands and face.
Oh, poor Morgan. What happened?
Oh, God knows. An explosion in the lab, apparently. It's typical Saunders in country, isn't it? The minute my back is turned, he pushes Frank into doing something he wasn't capable of. I should never have left him.
Frank Morgan's your boss, for heaven's sake. You're not paid to hold his hand.
Yeah.
He blew himself up. It's not your fault. You want a computer course.
I know, but I still feel awful about it. Look, if you want to live, let's get a move on, shall we? I'm anxious to find out what sort of mess the lab is in.
Oh, 2 minutes and I'm with you.
Good morning. Can I help you?
John Crabtree and Peter Jackson from the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries. Captain Olson of the observation ship Ocean Vigilance is to run a film he shot in mid-Atlantic for us.
Oh, yes, Captain Olson has already arrived. If you take the lift to the third floor, gentlemen, you'll find Captain Olson in the press office. It's room 304.
Thank you.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Who's been sitting in my chair?
Sorry?
Here, on the floor of the car, a girl's handbag. Now, isn't that interesting?
Good grief. It belongs to Nurse Price. I told you I met her coming off the train and gave her a lift home to Four Way Towers out of Western Shore.
Met her getting off the train, yes. Gave her a lift home, no.
Well, I did. No problem. She'll be in work this morning. I'll return it to her as soon as I get there.
Well, why don't we go via Western Shore and return it to her now, Harry? It isn't too far out of our way.
Well, it's too late. She usually jogs along the beach to Woolston every morning.
But she's bound to be worried about losing her handbag, isn't she?
Well, I doubt if we catch her.
Let's try, shall we?
Okay, let's do that.
Hold it there, Captain Olson. Can you read what's written on her stern, Peter?
Gloria Dean, port of registration, Liverpool.
One of ours, by Jove. Had she applied for a permit to dump waste materials at sea, Captain Olson?
No permit was applied for, none was issued.
Do we know what they were dumping?
Dicetaphene disulfide.
Were they, by God? Okay, you can turn it off. Now, you're sure of your facts?
Absolutely. I submitted samples taken immediately from the area for analysis. I had the results yesterday afternoon.
To work, Peter. Find out where the Gloria Dean is now and when she's expected back in this country. Who her owners are, who her captain is, and where she loaded what for where.
Yes, sir.
I want to know all there is to know about the Gloria Dean, and I want to know quickly. We're going to nail this one to her mast.
Sir.
Surprise, surprise.
I told you she wouldn't be there, didn't I?
Oh, it's better than that, Harry. Much better than that.
What do you mean?
Well, not only is there no Julia Price listed in the entrance to Fallway Towers, a man coming out who lives there told me he'd never heard of Nurse Price.
So, it's a very big block of flats, and she lives with her mother. What of it? I dropped her here and she went inside, okay?
Yes, Harry, if you say so, Harry.
You don't believe me, do you, Maggie?
Of course I believe you, darling. What wife wouldn't believe her husband who, having been out all night, arrives home at 7:30 a.m. with a girl's handbag on the floor of his car and who subsequently can't find the address he says he took her home to?
Right. Just for that, you can jolly well come with me to Wolston and give the damn thing back to her yourself.
I can't. I'll be late for work.
Well, hard luck.
Harry, you're being signaled to stop. There's been an accident.
Oh, great. That's all I need.
Good morning, officer. What seems to be the trouble?
Good morning, sir. You mind telling me where you've come from?
Hamble, where I live.
And where are you going to?
I'm on my way to Woolston, where I work. Has there been an accident?
A bit out of your way, isn't it, sir? Via Western Shore.
Well, I'm dropping my wife off at her office. What's happened?
Your name, sir?
I'm Harry Rolt. This is my wife, Maggie. I'm a research chemist at C&M Chemicals on Eastern Dock.
Thank you, Mr. Rolt. King Clare Avenue's closed, I'm afraid. You'll have to go via Riverside Road.
Oh, thank you, officer. Good morning.
Morning.
What the hell was all that about?
Why didn't you tell him you were delivering your girlfriend's hand?
No, I'm warning you, Maggie.
Oh, stop the car.
What's the matter?
Back there in the front garden, there was a canvas tent like you see on television when they've got something grisly to hide. And policemen everywhere using tape measures. Oh, turn round, Harry. Let's go back and take a look.
You're a morbid little so-and-so, aren't you? You'd be a proper little ambulance chaser given half a chance.
I only want to know what's happened.
You can read all about it in this evening's paper. Are you coming down to Woolston with me or aren't you?
Harry, I trust you. Will you please stop making such a fuss?
Yes. Right, thank you. You've been a great help. Much obliged. Oh, the Gloria Dean loaded bagged propylene in Southampton on March 25th and took it to Galveston in the Gulf of Mexico. Her skipper is Captain Jack Samuels.
Where is she now, Peter?
Back in her home port of Southampton, loading more bagged propylene for Galveston.
An eyeball-to-eyeball encounter with Captain Samuels is what's needed here.
Right.
We'll pick up what equipment we need on our way, Peter, and be on board within the hour. Thanks for all your good work, Captain Olsen. I'll keep you posted as to how we get on.
Good morning, Captain Samuels. How are things on board the Gloria Dean this morning?
Fair to middling, Mr. Saunderson. Things have been known to be worse.
I take it from that you have something for me, Captain.
I have, sir. Things was a bit rougher than the lads expected, but they managed it all right.
Where is it?
Tucked up safe in my cabin, Mr. Saunderson. Follow me.
C&M Chemicals, good morning. Can I help you?
Hi, Maisie, it's me, Harry Rolt. I'm in a coin box at Woolston Foreshore. Is Nurse Price in work yet, Maisie? I thought I'd catch her jogging along the beach, but there's no sign of her.
Sorry, Nurse Price hasn't arrived yet, Mr. Rolt.
Oh, in that case, I'll hang on here for a while. If Mr. Saunderson or anyone wants me, tell them I came down to the beach for a breath of fresh air before turning to. I've been on the train all night.
Well, you're safe for a little while, Mr. Rolt. Mr. Saunderson went down to the dock to see Captain Samuels on board the Gloria Dean.
Thanks, Maisie. I'll see you.
Is this it?
That's it, Mr. Saunderson.
This isn't what I told you to get. This is a medical case.
That's all there was. She had nothing else with her.
Have you looked inside?
Not knowing what it is you're after, Mr. Saunderson, I saw no point. It's as the lads brought it on board, unopened and untouched.
It's not here.
Ah, oh, and that's a real pity.
You bungled it, Captain Samuels, like most things you undertake for me. I should have known better than to entrust you with the task.
The lads done their best, sir. It's all she had with her, so they brung what they could get. Not their fault if it's not what you wanted.
Here, take it.
What am I supposed to do with it?
Don't tempt me, Captain Samuels. However, I suggest you dump it over the side when you get back out to sea.
The lads will want paying just the same, Mr. Saunderson. That's the way the deal was struck. That's the way it's going to be.
We'll see about that when I get what I'm looking for. I know where the girl can be found. At this time of the morning, I'll go and have a word with her. If you want a job doing, and do it yourself.
Come on. Come on. Where is she?
Good morning, Harry.
Oh, my God.
Good morning, Mr. Saunderson.
Morning, Harry. Mind if I sit down before I fall down? I really should know better at my age. Oh, getting a breath of fresh air, are you?
Yes, I had no idea you went in for this jogging lark.
I hope Nurse Price responsible for anything that might happen to me. She talked me into it. We meet out here and jog to work together most mornings. No sign of her today.
Mm.
I'm relieved to say, which means I can cheat a little. Have you got your car?
Yes.
Good. You can give me a lift if you promise you won't split.
I promise.
Sad about old Doc Morgan blowing himself up, frankly.
Mm.
It'll mean you taking over, of course. That's why I had to call you home halfway through your computer course. How do you feel about that, Harry? Taking over from Doc Morgan? Are you willing to give it a try?
Well, I'll be happy to stand in for Dr. Morgan for as long as he's off work. No problem.
It's goodbye and thanks for all the fish time for Frank, I'm afraid. I should have given him the old heave-ho years ago. He's a danger to himself and everyone he works with, as his most recent escapade so ably demonstrated. That's why there's no way I'm taking Frank Morgan back. The job is yours if you want it.
I'll think about it. What sort of a mess is the lab in?
It's to be rebuilt and re-equipped. Now's the time to take over, Harry. It's a marvellous opportunity for you. Talk it over with Maggie and let me know what you decide, all right?
Yes, all right. Thanks very much, Mr. Saunderson.
Not at all. We must look after our own, mustn't we, Harry? Where's your car?
Back there on the road.
Come on. Time's a-wasting. And remember, not a word to Nurse Price about this. Okay.
Your secret is safe with me, Mr. Saunderson.
Number, please.
Hi, Maisie. It's me, Harry. I've been in work for an hour and I'm still getting no reply from the surgery. Has Nurse Price rung in to say she's not coming in today?
She hasn't called yet, I'm afraid.
Oh, give me a shout the moment she arrives, would you please, Maisie? It's important that I speak with her. Okay.
Yeah, I'll call you the moment she gets here.
Thanks, Maisie.
Well, there she is, Peter, in all her rusting glory. Any sign of where acid might have been poured over her side, do you think?
Interesting, isn't it? The crew turned to with chipping hammers and red lead, just where it matters most.
I take your point. Well, shall we take our equipment on board, or do we announce our presence to the captain?
A word with the captain might be in order. Come on, let's see what kind of reception we get.
Calling Harry Rolt. Calling Harry Rolt. Harry Rolt to the telephone, please. Harry Rolt to the telephone, please.
Harry Rolt here. Is that you, Nurse Price?
Sorry, Harry. Still no sign of her, I'm afraid. But Mr. Saunderson wants you in his office right away.
Ah, Harry, come in. This is Detective Sergeant Hatfield. He wants a word with you.
Good morning, Sergeant Hatfield.
What can I do for you?
Sorry to have to call you away from your work, Mr. Rolt. Your name's among a list of people spoken to in the vicinity of King Clear Avenue this morning. I'm engaged in gathering further information.
Yes, of course. There'd been an accident of some sort. The police stopped me and diverted me via Riverside Road. What way can I help you?
Mrs. Saunderson here tells me that you travelled to Southampton on an overnight train from Manchester. Is that correct, sir?
It is.
What time did your train arrive in Southampton, Mr. Rolt?
7:30.
Ah. Well, that rules you out.
Rules me out of what?
Oh, yeah, trying to chase the man who gave a young woman a lift from Southampton Station to Western Shore at around 2 o'clock this morning. She was seen to leave the station as a passenger in a white Cortina car. Similar to the one you drive, Mr. Rolt.
Nurse Price was attacked and robbed in Kincare Avenue during the early hours of this morning, Harry.
Oh, good Lord.
Is she all right?
The young woman was badly pulled about, sir. She's in intensive care at the moment. During the struggle, one of her attackers fell backwards over a low front garden wall and sustained a broken neck. The dead man's known to be a foreign seaman. We're in the process of finding out which ship he came from.
Nurse Price was attacked by more than one person?
She was, sir.
How can you be sure of that?
The motive for the attack would appear to be robbery, sir. There has to be another person involved, because the young woman's handbag is missing.
Ah, now I can explain all that, can't I? There we were in mid-Atlantic, going about our lawful business, when up comes this nosy partnership yelling the odds and threatening us with the authorities. So we bid them good day, in the approved nautical manner, and went on our way. Oh, what could be fairer than that?
You were filmed dumping chemical waste, Captain Samuels. No permit had been applied for and none had been issued. You were in contravention of the Food and Environment Act. And should you be prosecuted and found guilty, the penalty is a limitless fine and up to 2 years in jail. What have you got to say to that?
Seems a bit hard for a couple of drums of mucky oil, don't you think?
There's nothing to do with a couple of drums of muck. You were known to have been dumping dicetaphene disulfide. It's a matter of amazement that no one on board suffered.
Who says the samples brought back over for analysis came from my ship? And who can prove it?
That's why Mr. Jackson and I are here, Captain. We have the authority and the equipment to examine your ship for traces of the chemical. With your permission, we'll proceed to do just that.
Examine where you like. You'll find nothing that hasn't got a perfect right to be wherever you find it.
We'll see. Come along, Peter. We'll bring our equipment on board.
Careful how you go now. We don't want you gentlemen falling over the side or getting bopped on the nut or anything unfortunate like that now, do we?
We will be extremely careful, Captain. Never fear.
Oh, good.
Southampton 22454.
Eleanor, it's me.
Harry!
Look, I can't talk now, but I've got to see you.
What is it? Is anything the matter?
Things went badly wrong last night. We've got to talk. Be at our usual cafe in 30 minutes. It's absolutely vital that I see you.
Harry, what was that?
Be there, Eleanor.
You did what?
What else could I do? There I was sitting on the beach nursing Julia's handbag when up jogs Alan Saunderson. If I'd let him see the handbag, I'd have had to explain how I came by it, which would have meant admitting that I left the train at 2:02 a.m. with Julia, and where had I been from 2:02 a.m. until I arrived home at something towards 8 o'clock this morning.
Yes, I do take your point.
I did manage to surreptitiously prop a stick up amongst the stones to mark the spot where I'd buried it, so recovering it shouldn't be too much of a problem.
What happened last night? Did you visit the factory, as I suggested?
Yes, I did. I went there straight from the train. I searched the entire department for hours, but I found nothing. And this morning, I've discovered that Frank's lab notes on the work we've done on dicetaphene disulfide are missing.
How sure are you of your ground? What evidence have you got that Dr. Morgan wrote this critical report about Alan Saunderson? And that he intended it to be read by top management?
Frank told me he'd done so. He realised that the report would have to go via Saunderson's office and that it stood no chance at all of being handed on to top management, so he transposed the report onto microfilm for filing.
But you failed to find it.
No trace or reference to it anywhere. I suspect that the microfilm suffered the same fate as the report. Both were destroyed by Saunderson. Add to that the fact that the lab notes on dicetaphene disulfide are also missing, and you've got a pretty thorough attempt to hide the fact that the company has a problem with its toxic waste.
Surely Frank must have realised that if he filed the microfilm copy of his report, then Saunderson would get at it.
Yes, you'd have thought so.
So he'd hang on to it, wouldn't he?
Yes, you're probably right.
Do we know what he was working on when he blew himself up?
Oh, Saunderson had him proving the impossible to be impossible. He was again trying to neutralise dicetaphene disulfide. The rig overheated and exploded.
Making Dr. Morgan more determined than ever to get his report through to the company's director.
Well, he'll not make it. Saunderson isn't going to take him back. It's the end of the line for Frank Morgan. He's too big a threat to Saunderson.
So what would he do? He'd give the report to someone else for them to see it through. But who?
Well, Nurse Price. They always had a special kind of relationship going. Frank used to spend more time in the surgery talking to Julia than he did in the laboratory.
And when she returns from taking Frank to hospital, she's jumped on outside her flat in an attempted handbag snatch.
Only her handbag was sitting on the floor of my car.
I don't have to tell you where the microfilm is, do I, Harry?
In Nurse Price's handbag.
Let's go and get it.
Good you're from Oxfam, leave what you brought with the chimpanzee here. His need is greater than mine.
It's the police. Open up, Captain. Don't ask me to go bail for any of my lot that have fallen foul of the law. It's company rules. They pay their own fines or they stay where they are.
Here's a man called Manuel Rodriguez, a member of your crew, Captain.
Oh, especially Rodriguez. You can have him. He's a gift from me to the fair city of Southampton.
Rodriguez isn't in jail, Captain.
Well, if he isn't in jail, where is he?
He's in the city mortuary.
Oh, come in. So, Rodriguez is dead.
Very.
What happened? He get done over in a fight or something?
Not quite, Captain. He attempted to snatch a girl's handbag during the early hours of this morning. He got pushed backwards over the garden wall for his pains. He sustained a broken neck.
Serves him damn well right, I say. And what about the woman he molested? Is she all right?
Unconscious and in hospital, I'm afraid.
Well, tell her she managed to croak the bastard. That should perk her up no end. You want me to identify the body?
Oh, yes, in due course, but first I have a warrant to search your ship.
Search my ship? What about for?
Rodriguez wasn't alone. The girl's handbag's missing. Since Rodriguez remained where he fell, someone else must have taken it, mustn't they, Captain?
Good point, Sergeant. Very good point. But who? That's the question.
That's what I intend to find out. But who?
Oh, excuse me. Oh, yes, Mr. Crabtree. What can I do for you?
My assistant was sculling around the side of your ship examining the plates when he found this floating in the dock. I thought perhaps it was part of your equipment, Captain, and that it had found its way into the water. Do you recognize it?
Never set eyes on it before in my life. You can toss it back where it came from.
What is that you found, sir? May I see?
Yes, of course.
Well, well, well. A nurse's medical case. Now, isn't that interesting?
Where are we supposed to be looking, Harry? Where?
Over here, I think, Eleanor. Let me just see. I was sitting just about there when Saunderson turned up and... Oh, my God!
What's the matter? What is it?
The tide, Eleanor! The tide! The sea's coming! Julia's handbag is underwater!
Oh, no, it can't be!
Oh, the marker stick I left's been washed away!
Oh, Harry, no!
I thought I told you not to come here, Captain Samuels.
I had no choice, Mr. Saunderson. I had to see you right away on account of what happened.
Then out with it, man. What has happened?
They found the girl's medical case.
They what?
They found the girl's medical case. Sergeant Hadfield is grilling every member of my crew, determined to find out which one of those rat bags was with Rodriguez when they jumped the nurse.
All right. So he finds the man who was with Rodriguez. Where's the harm in that? Hadfield will naturally assume that they were after drugs, and the man will be charged with the theft of a nurse's medical case. As far as I can see, it can only serve to take the heat off us.
Assuming, of course, that the man keeps his trap shut about who paid him to jump the nurse in the first place.
That surely is very much up to you, Captain. I'd make absolutely sure that he remained silent if I were you, otherwise we'll both be in more trouble than we bargained for. Now, if you've said what you came to say, I suggest you get back on board if we're to survive.
I haven't told you the worst bit yet.
The worst bit? You mean there's more?
There's a couple of scientists from the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries on board, sniffing the breeze for you know what. John Crabtree and his assistant Peter Jackson. It were them that found the girl's medical case floating in the dock and gave it to the police.
How much of a threat do they pose? How thoroughly did you hose down your ship after the dumping exercise in mid-Atlantic?
Oh, cleanest ship afloat she is. There's been so much water swilling round the decks... The lads thought they'd sign on a submarine. And I've red-leaded everything in sight, including the knives and forks, so we should be all right.
I'm very relieved to hear it.
Mind you, they've got enough equipment with them to detect a fart in a force 10 gale. But so far, nothing's shown up. Except for the rats, that is.
The rats.
3 dead rats they found. In the scuppers close by where the stuff went over the side. Well, I told them. All ships are alive with rats, and I put down rat poison night and morning. Oh, I didn't stop them placing them into a plastic bag and rushing them off to discover what they died of. And it won't be old age, will it, Mr. Saunderson?
You're right, Captain Samuels. This is worse. Much, much worse.
And the point is, of course, what the hell are we going to do about it?
How are you doing, Sergeant? Have you caught the varmint yet? If you have, just tell me who he is and I'll hang him up by his thumbs while you pop ashore for an arrest warrant.
An arrest warrant?
I signed the crew on in Panama. The lads will claim diplomatic immunity. Oh, but don't let that deter you. I'll see to it he don't escape. How many have you got left to see?
Just one. Able Seaman Bates.
Bolson!
Right with you, Captain!
What can I do for you, Captain?
No, the sergeant here wants to talk to Bates. He's over the starboard side, wielding a chipping hammer. Fetch him inboard.
Right, Captain.
Well, how about a drink, Sergeant? It's not much fun for you talking to that lot one after the other. It's something I spend most of my time trying not to do. Talk to that lot. Not one at a time, that is. Never one at a time. Whiskey?
Not while I'm on duty. Thank you, Captain.
Well, seamen are all right in their proper place. Up a mast or in jail, take your pick. Cheers.
Captain! Captain!
What is it, Bolson?
He's Bates, Captain.
Well, what's up with him?
Well, when I looked over the side to give him a shout, I seen his bosun's chair was empty. And there he were, floating face downwards in the dock.
Dead?
I don't think he feels very well, Sergeant.
Show me. Come on, quickly.
Cheers, Batesy. You weren't all bad.
The rats died of dicetaphene disulfide poisoning, Peter. We've got him. Into the car and back on board.
Right.
We'll confront the old villain with this evidence and see what he has to say for himself.
What about the rat poison he allegedly puts down? Shouldn't we know what its contents are, just in case?
You're right. Go back to the ship and demand a sample of whatever it is he uses, if he uses anything at all.
Right. I'll do that and be back as quickly as I can.
If it turns out that the rat poison actually exists, then make a note of who the manufacturers are.
I'll try to remember.
Then make a point of remembering. I have a feeling that it might be important. Yes, Janet?
Mr. John Crabtree is here to see you, Mr. Saunderson.
Show him in.
Yes, sir.
Come in.
Mr. Crabtree.
Ah, yes, thank you. Thank you, Janet.
Good afternoon, Mr. Saunderson. It's very good of you to see me without an appointment. I'll be as brief as I can. May I sit down?
Please do.
Thank you. I'm investigating a huge contamination of seawater that occurred in mid-Atlantic, caused by the dumping of a pollutant that rendered some 200 square miles of ocean sterile to all forms of marine life. Well, you may know something about it. It was widely reported on TV and in the press at the time.
Yes, I do remember something about it. Wasn't some ship or other caught in the act and recorded on film, wasn't that it?
That's it. The Gloria Dean, a British freighter now berthed here in Southampton.
Have you confronted the ship's captain and charged him with this offence?
Confronted him, yes. Charged him, no.
Why not? It all seems perfectly straightforward to me. He was caught red-handed, illegally dumping toxic waste. Then why not charge him?
There is the matter of evidence. The captain's story is that the waste he'd been dumping was a small quantity of oil sludge collected during a tank cleaning operation. So far, we've not been able to prove otherwise.
Why come to me?
My assistant found 3 dead rats on board the Gloria Dean. All 3 had large quantities of dicetaphene disulfide in their intestines. The pollutant that contaminated the ocean was dicetaphene disulfide.
Then surely this must be evidence enough to bring a case against the ship's captain.
Indeed, we thought so. But the captain insists that he habitually puts down rat poison to combat the rat menace on board his ship. He willingly provided us with a sample of the poison he uses for analysis.
And what did you find?
The rat poison contains dicetaphene disulfide.
Oh, what bad luck. Have you approached the manufacturers of the rat poison? Maybe they could help.
The trade label on the packet lists C&M Chemicals as the manufacturer, Mr. Saunderson.
You mean it's our rat poison?
Yes.
Good gracious me. Isn't it a small world? Well, now, this throws an entirely different light on the subject altogether. All we have to do is to check the rat poison specification to see whether or not it contains the chemical you mentioned.
Thank you.
Here we are. Now then, what does the beastly stuff contain? What was it you were looking for again, Mr. Crabtree?
Dicetaphene disulfide.
Yes. Here we are. 5 milligrams per pound, effective weight. How does that tally with the amount found in the dead rats, Mr. Crabtree?
Unhappily, it's about right.
Oh, what a shame. For a moment there, I thought you'd got him.
It would appear not.
Well, don't give up, my dear chap. You're bound to nail him in the end, assuming that he's guilty, of course.
Perhaps that's the mistake I've been making all along, Mr. Saunderson. I've assumed that the captain is guilty.
Of course he's guilty. These chaps always are. They thrive on guilt. Innocence is such a non-productive commodity. Men like the captain would wilt and die if they were innocent. Keep after him, Mr. Crabtree. He's bound to slip up eventually.
I will indeed. One more question before I leave you, Mr. Saunderson.
Of course, if there is anything at all I can do to help.
If I can discover where the stuff originates, then we'd be a long way towards who the guilty party is. Do you mind telling me where you get your dicetaphene disulfide from to put into your rat poison, Mr. Saunderson?
I'm not a chemist myself, you understand. I'm an engineer, so I can't answer your question directly. Are you there, Janet?
Yes, sir.
Would you come in for a moment, please? Mr. Crabtree requires some information.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure Janet will know the answer to your question.
Sir?
The rat poison specification lists dicetaphene disulfide as one of the ingredients. I take it that we buy it in?
Yes, Mr. Saunderson. We purchase small quantities from manufacturers in France. The manufacturing control restrictions are not nearly as stringent as they are here.
It really is wicked stuff. It's the bogey of the entire plastics manufacturing industry. Personally, speaking for this company, we will have nothing whatsoever to do with it outside our rat poison control. Has Janet answered your question?
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Janet.
Not at all, sir.
If there's any further information you require, or if I can help you in any way at all, please don't hesitate to get in touch.
Thank you, Mr. Saunderson. You've been of great help to me. I'll try not to trouble you further. Good day to you.
Good day, Mr. Crabtree. Delighted to have been of assistance.
Thank you again, Mr. Saunderson.
Was I all right? Did I do as you asked?
You were marvellous, my dear. Even I believed you.
Well, shall I destroy the false rat poison specification?
Leave it on file, Janet. One never knows when we might suddenly need it again.
Yes, sir. You're up to something, Harry.
Honest to God, if I turn over in bed, you reckon I'm up to something?
Then take me with you.
Look, it'll be wet and cold and dark. Fishing from the beach at night is just not your scene. Well, admit it. I mean, you're an Ovaltine and tucked up by 10 person, aren't you?
Who are you, for God's sake? Why can't you go fishing in the afternoon like everyone else?
The whiting come into shallow water at night to feed. You know how you like whiting.
I like rump steak, but you don't have to kill a cow to prove it. I'm perfectly happy to buy my whiting in the normal, civilised manner. Frozen. In packets. You're up to something.
You just don't trust me, do you, Maggie?
That's right. I just don't trust you.
Well, I trust you.
Don't be insulting.
Well, men are men, women are women. I don't really expect you to understand.
What don't I understand about men being men and women being women?
Look, I'm going, okay? And I'm going alone, okay? So why don't you make the best of a bad job and belt up, okay?
When I come down tomorrow morning, if that fridge isn't stuffed to its own personal gills with whiting, I'll want to know the reason why. Okay?
Well, in the meantime, what about getting me a packet of corned beef sandwiches?
No.
With just a hint of mustard?
You.
Oh. Any luck?
No. Keep digging, Eleanor. Keep digging. It's around here somewhere.
There's something.
What? Where?
Oh, sorry. It's just an old sandal.
Oh.
Hey, maybe we should be using a metal detector. Perhaps we would detect a combat case or a keel. Something in Julie's hand.
Only one snag with that.
What's that?
We haven't got a bloody metal detector. Oh.
Look, I'm going to go down to the water's edge to see if I've got a bite. Okay, but if I go home whitingless, I'm a dead duck.
Okay.
Nothing. Not a nibble. Here, Whiting. Come to Harry. Come on.
I've got Mr. Crabtree here, Detective Sergeant.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Come in, Mr. Crabtree.
Thank you.
How are you making out on board the Gloria Dean?
Not quite as I'd hoped, I'm afraid. So far, the captain has an answer for everything.
Oh, he's a cunning old devil, all right. Now, what can I do for you?
I understand a man died on board the Gloria Dean this afternoon. I'm interested in the circumstances surrounding his death. Can you tell me what happened?
The man was Abel Seaman Bates. To say he died on board a ship's not strictly true. He was found drowned in the dock, having fallen from where he was working over the ship's side.
Do you suspect foul play, Sergeant?
Where Captain Jack Samuels is involved, I always suspect foul play, Mr. Crabtree. But no one saw him fall, and there were no cries for help. An autopsy carried out this afternoon revealed that the man was unconscious before he entered the water. If he'd been pushed, he'd have yelled when shoved. If he'd been hit over the head, there'd be evidence of a blow having been struck. Neither's the case. The man apparently simply blacked out and fell from where he was working into the dock and drowned. I don't believe it, but I can't prove it to be otherwise.
Have you questioned Captain Samuels about this?
The captain was with me in his cabin when this happened. He didn't push him, if that's what you mean.
The captain has a genius for alibi, have you noticed? Mm. His stories can no more be proved than they can be disproved.
He might be telling the truth, of course.
Well, some of the time, perhaps.
The death of Abel Seaman Bates messed things up for me considerably, I don't mind admitting.
In what way?
I'm fairly sure that Bates was involved in a bag snatch on a young nurse during the early hours of this morning. A second man involved managed to get himself killed whilst they were at it. With both men dead and the girl unconscious and in hospital, I've got precious little to work on.
Both assailants dead within hours of the attack being carried out? Well, something of a coincidence, don't you think, Sergeant?
Too damn true. I don't like it one bit. But there's not a thing I can do to prove circumstances to be anything other than they seem.
And the medical case, retrieved by my assistant from the waters of the dock this morning? It belonged to the nurse in question, I take it.
I can't even be certain of that. The name tag had been removed, and the people at C&M Chemicals couldn't positively identify it as belonging to Nurse Price.
The people where, did you say, Sergeant?
C&M Chemicals. Out at Woolston. The girl was employed there as an industrial nurse.
Mr. Saunderson was right. It is a small world.
You've met Alan Saunderson.
I have. The more I move around the areas and avenues of this affair, the more I hear about C&M Chemicals, where Alan Saunderson is production manager. I'm not at all sure what it means, but my common sense tells me that it has to mean something. What was the reason for the attack on the nurse? Have you been able to establish a motive?
When you found the medical case floating in the dock, I immediately thought that it was drugs they were after. But nothing had been removed from the case, so I had to rule that one out. I'm left with robbery.
Robbery? Why robbery?
Now, they also made off with the girl's handbag, which, sad to say, has not yet been recovered. When I do eventually find it, then perhaps I'll know the answer to some of these questions. I'm on my way down to Hamble to talk to a man who knows more than he's admitting. Can I give you a lift, Mr. Crabtree?
I have my car, thank you. I'll be fine. Thank you for seeing me, Sergeant. You've been most helpful.
My pleasure. Keep in touch, Mr. Crabtree.
I will.
Good evening, Mrs. Rolt.
Yes?
Is Mr. Rolt at home? Sergeant Hadfield, CID.
Oh, Harry's not here, I'm afraid. He went fishing earlier on this evening.
Fishing?
For whiting from the beach at Woolston. Looks
in that case, if I might have a word with you, Mrs. Rolt, you might be able to tell me what it is I want to know.
Yes, of course. Come along in.
I'm trying to eliminate your husband's car from my inquiries into an incident in King Clear Avenue that happened during the early hours of this morning.
Oh, the attack on Julia Price, you mean? But Harry didn't arrive in Southampton until 7:30 this morning, Sergeant. I think you must have the wrong person.
You left your husband's white Cortina outside Southampton railway station, ready for him to collect this morning. Is that correct?
It is. He collected it at 7:30 and arrived home just before 8:00.
You see, a young woman was seen to leave the station as a passenger in a white Cortina car, similar to the one your husband drives, Mrs. Rolt. Now, can you tell me just where you left your husband's car last night?
In the station car park, I already told you.
Just where in the station car park did you leave it? The station entrance is here. The car park is here. Whereabouts did you leave the car?
Well, it's difficult to say precisely. I came in from this end and found a space close by the advertisement hoarding. Somewhere about here.
Thank you, Mrs. Rolt. You've been most helpful. I won't trouble you any further.
I'm glad to have been of assistance, Sergeant. Hope you catch him, whoever he is.
Oh, I'll catch him, all right. Don't you worry. I'll catch him.
God, Frank, this is hopeless. Ugh. We've been searching for hours and we found nothing.
What do you mean we found nothing? I'm going into the scrap iron business first thing tomorrow morning.
Oh, I don't believe it.
What's the matter?
Oh, my God, Harry, I think I found it. Did it have a round leather strap?
Yes. It's the torch. Where's the torch? Here.
It's here. Harry, I found it.
Gracious.
Oh, my
God. What a soggy mess. If the microfilm is here, I don't give much for its chances of survival, I'm afraid.
But take your jacket off and spread it out on the stones. We'll empty the contents of the bag onto it.
Yes, hang on. Hold the torch. Right. There. Right, Eleanor, upend it.
Okay.
Compact. Lipstick. Into a flat. Bunch of soggy letters.
Time. Diary, money, mirror.
No microfilm. It's not here, Eleanor.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be here somewhere. Time to torch inside the bag, Harry.
Oh, hell.
What's the matter?
Someone's coming.
Quick, put it all back into the bag. Quickly, Harry, quickly.
Oh.
What are you doing? You're dropping it in front of the stone.
I can't help that. Look, hide it again.
Okay.
Now, lie down.
What?
Lie down on my coat. We'll pretend to be a courting couple. That'll scare them off.
Good evening, Mr. Rolt. I might just have a word, sir.
So, just sit tight and don't panic, all right? The last thing we want is any more of these
Are you there, Captain Samuel?
Who's there?
It's me, John Crabtree.
Oh, Crabtree, that's all we need.
I'm sorry to trouble you at this time of night, Captain, but I... Oh. Good evening, Mr. Saunderson.
Good evening, Mr. Crabtree.
I hope I'm not interrupting a business meeting. Is your company exporting its wares on board the Gloria Dean, Mr. Saunderson?
The captain and I are old friends. Whenever he brings his ship to Southampton, I usually manage to spend a convivial hour in his company, don't I, Captain?
You do indeed, Mr. Saunderson, you do indeed. Now, if it's more dead rats you're looking for, sir, you're out of luck, I'm afraid. The entire rat population is fitting well, and the galley cat is having a hard time following them round the beams to see where they get their eats from.
No, I'm not looking for rats this time, Captain.
Oh, bugs, beetles, cockroaches. There's all manner of fascinating things to be found on board the Gloria Dean.
Not bugs or beetle or cockroaches, I'm afraid.
Barnacles, mugwumps, the odd case of the Bombay horrors, maybe.
I've been studying the pathologist's report on the seaman who died in an accident on board here this afternoon.
Oh.
Perhaps you could provide me with some details that might help me with the report I have to write.
What is it you want to know?
Well, the man apparently fell unconscious from where he was working down into the waters of the dock, where he drowned. Can you in any way explain that, Captain?
No problem there, sir. A chronic epileptic was Abel Seaman Bates. Always collapsing in little heaps about the place. Proper damn nuisance he was from time to time. Well, I'm sorry he had to go the way he did, but quite frankly, I'm glad to see the back of him.
Well, come now, Captain. You know as well as I do that no merchant navy doctor is going to allow a chronic epileptic on board ship to serve as an able seaman. You have to do better than that, I'm afraid.
Things is seldom as straightforward as they seem, Mr. Crabtree. It's a long, sad story, and one for which I feel personally responsible.
Tell me. I've plenty of time and a great deal of patience.
Fresh out of Zanzibar we were. And set fair for the Cape. Back in 1982 it was. When all at once, there came a shout from the forecastle, and men come running and tumbling out onto the deck. So I marched in to see what's amiss. And what do I find? A man lying drunk on the deck, and the time not yet 9:45. So I took him by the scruff of the neck, and I hoisted him high up aloft into the crow's nest, and I kept him there for a day and a half, just to teach him a lesson or two. By the time he came down, he was in a hell of a state. And from that day on, every once in a while, he'd go roaring and twitching and rolling his eyes fit to bust a gut. Now just ask yourself, sir, what could I do? I couldn't sack the man, knowing that no other skipper would employ him. And if I'd sent him to a doctor, he'd have been put ashore a bit sharp. So I let him stay on board my ship and said nothing to no one as to how I'd turned poor old Batesy into a chronic epileptic. That's God's only truth, sir.
You're incredible, Captain. Quite incredible.
Incredible, sir? Why incredible? You ask any of the lads, they'll tell you what I'm saying is the truth.
I'm sure they will, Captain. I'm quite sure they will. May I take a look at the place where the accident occurred?
Anything you like, Professor. You come with me.
Thank you.
I'll get the bosun to show you where Bates was working over the starboard bow. Bosun!
Damn.
Show this camera where Abel Seaman Bates is working. All right, Mr. Saunderson. What's up?
I'd be happier if he hadn't seen us together, that's all. Let's conclude our business and I'll be gone. £5,000 was the sum agreed upon, even though you failed to get the girl's handbag as instructed.
That was before the two lads involved got themselves killed and my ship overrun with policemen and scientists. £10,000 would seem nearer the mark to me.
£5,000 was the sum agreed upon, and £5,000 is all I'm paying. Take it or leave it.
Oh, dear.
If you choose to push members of your crew into the dock and drown them, that's your business, Captain Samuels, and nothing to do with me. I don't intend to pay for your misdeeds.
I never touched him.
Of course you did. You killed Bates to silence him. I should take great care if I were you, Captain. You're on very thin ice at the moment. One wrong word from me, and you could spend the next 20 years in jail.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. And to think that all poor old Batesy did wrong was to do... Yeah. Would I do a thing like that, Mr. Saunderson? All I'm after is a fair day's pay for a fair day's toil. Let's say £5,000 now and £5,000 tomorrow. How about that? Good. I'm glad you see it my way.
Right then, you can go.
We can?
Not you, Mr. Rolt. The young lady can go. You stay where you are.
Thank you, Sergeant.
A word of advice for what it's worth, miss. You should choose your friends a lot more carefully in the future. Anyone who falls for a line like come and watch me fishing for whiting off the beach deserves all she gets.
I'll try to remember. Bye, Harry. I'll call you tomorrow, okay?
Yes, all right. If Maggie wants to know where I am, tell her I hooked a whale and got towed out to sea.
Right.
See the duty officer, miss, on your way out. He'll find someone to run you home.
Thank you, Sergeant. You're too kind.
Not at all.
Bye, Harry.
Bye.
Don't go rushing about now.
Fishing for whiting off the beach. How do you do it, Mr. Rawls?
Well, some of us have it, Sergeant. Some of us don't.
Is that where you went when you left the train at 2 o'clock this morning?
Ah, so you know about that.
Your car left the station car park shortly after 2 o'clock this morning, Mr. Rawlt. It reappeared in the car park at 6 o'clock. Where were you during those missing hours, Mr. Rawlt?
Well, a man does not live by bread alone, Sergeant.
As far as I can make out, you seem to be on a diet of fruitcake and champagne. When do you sleep?
Lately, not a lot. You don't happen to know of a wet fish shop that stays open all night, do you?
You gave Julia Price a lift home to Western Shore.
Yes, I did. I dropped her off at the entrance to the block of flats where she lives, Fallway Towers.
You dropped her off where, sir?
Fallway Towers. I saw her go into the building.
But Julia Price lives in King Clear Avenue. She was attacked outside the house where she has a flat.
In that case, why did she ask me to take her to Fallway Towers? Because that's where I dropped her off, Sergeant. Not King Clear Avenue.
Hmm. What about her handbag?
Handbag?
Was Julia Price carrying a handbag when she left your car, Mr. Rort?
No, she had a medical case slung over her shoulder, but no handbag. Yes, I can definitely state that Nurse Price was not carrying a handbag when she left my car.
It has to be a handbag, surely. A young woman can't journey from Chepstow to Southampton without a handbag. Where the devil can it be?
All right, Harry. What were you doing with that woman?
I've been fishing, for God's sake. Can I help it if the whiting weren't biting?
I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about last night on the train. You left it at 2 a.m. and got back just before 8 this morning.
Ah, so you know about that.
Yes, you bastard. Sergeant Hadfield was here, he told me.
Well, I wasn't with another woman, if that's what you're thinking. You've got to believe me, Maggie.
Why should I believe these lies when I've spent all day believing your other lies? Tell me the truth, maybe then I'll believe you.
I am telling you the truth. Cross my heart and hope to die.
All right, if you weren't with another woman, where were you?
At Eastern Dock. I went to the factory to look for something.
At 2 o'clock in the morning? What were you looking for God's sake?
Frank Morgan's report on the illegal dumping of toxic waste. It's gone missing.
Harry, are you meddling in things that don't concern you?
Oh, they concern me, all right. I'm paid to find out these things.
By whom?
Eleanor Jones.
What's it got to do with Eleanor Jones?
It was Eleanor's employment agency that got me the job in the factory in the first place. In return, I have to supply certain information from within the organization.
She's asked you to spy for her?
Well, yes, sort of.
What do you mean, well, sort of? Either she propositioned you into becoming an industrial spy or she didn't. Well, did she or didn't she?
Yes. Yes, she did. She was commissioned by the company's competitors to find out how C&M chemicals get around their dicetaphene disulfide problem.
And you agreed to spy for her?
Maggie, I was desperate. I'd been out of work for 18 months. What she asked me to do wasn't all bad.
Oh, Harry, believe me, there aren't any good spies. I've been spying on you for the past 10 years, so believe me, I know. What did she ask you to do?
Report on illegal goings-on, such as the dumping of toxic waste. Frank Morgan was trying to put a stop to it and had written a critical report telling all. Well, you know what happened to Morgan.
God. What happened to the report?
I'm fairly sure that Alan Saunderson destroyed it. But there is a microfilm copy still in existence. That's why Nurse Price was attacked last night. They thought she had the microfilm with her.
And did she have the microfilm with her?
No, she didn't.
Well, where was it?
Well, the chances are it was in her handbag, which she left on the floor of my car.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry is right. I have just spent an uncomfortable hour with Sergeant Hadfield. I'm pretty sure he thinks it was me who jumped Julia last night.
Well, was it you?
What do you mean?
Well, after all that's been going on, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Maggie.
Oh, Harry. Harry, of course it wasn't you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Look, where's the handbag now? That's what matters most, I suppose.
It's buried amongst the stones on Wolston foreshore. That's where I was tonight, trying to find it. Until I was interrupted by Sergeant Hadfield. What I can't understand is, how did he know where I was?
Oh.
You told him?
It sort of slipped out that you'd gone fishing. Oh. Well, it serves you right for telling me so many damned lies. Did you find the handbag? That's what matters.
Yes, I did. 10 seconds before Hadfield arrived.
What did you do?
Oh, I had to bury it again.
Over here, Maggie. You see? The whole area's turned upside down where we searched for it. And here in the centre's where we had to rebury it.
We searched for it. We had to rebury it. Who's we?
Oh, Eleanor Jones came to help me look for it.
Oh, the conversation's more interesting for the things you leave out than for the things you leave in, Harry.
Where the hell is it? Can't find it.
Is this what you're looking for, Mr. Rolt?
Oh, my God. Hadfield.
What did the pathologist have to say about Emil Seaman Bates' epilepsy?
It simply can't be proved. The disease leaves nothing to be seen. It takes an encephalograph to detect it in a living person. You can't give a brain scan to a man found drowned.
So, Captain Samuels rides again?
Well, not entirely. I did manage to catch him out in a provable lie. Albeit a small one, but a lie nevertheless.
You did?
When I went on board to see for myself, the captain told the bosun to show me where Bates had been working over the starboard bow. Now, Sergeant Hadfield, who was on board when all this happened, remember, told me that Bates fell from a bosun's chair while working amidships, an entirely different location altogether. I checked with Hadfield, who confirms this. It seems that you can't paint a ship's bow from a bosun's chair because the bow curves inwards. Scaffolding planks have to be used. So they were lying about the place from where Bates fell. But why? There has to be a reason.
Another look-see is indicated, I think. Don't you agree?
So you dropped Nurse Price at Falway Towers knowing that she would have to walk the short distance to Kingclear Avenue.
I didn't. She asked me to take her to Falway Towers. I saw her go into the building.
You got out of your car and you followed her, catching up with her just as she reached her front door. Maybe it was your intention to just snatch the girl's handbag, hoping she wouldn't see who it was in the dark. But it didn't work, did it?
None of this is true. You've got to believe me, Sergeant.
It didn't work because she had the bag looped over her forearm along with her medical case. You snatched and she resisted.
I didn't. I didn't touch her.
Ah, but then your luck really ran out. As you struggled with the girl, along the pavement came a seaman returning to his ship, Manuel Rodriguez. He saw what was happening and immediately came to the girl's aid. You fought, you struck the man a blow, sending him backwards over the low garden wall, causing him to break his neck as he fell. Isn't that the truth, Mr. Ross?
No! I was nowhere near Kingclear Avenue, I swear it!
Now, having killed Rodriguez and bashed the girl's senses, you took what you came to get, along with her medical case. You drove to Eastern Dock and dumped the case into the water to throw suspicion onto someone other than yourself. But you kept the handbag. And having got whatever it was you were after, you drove to Western Shore and buried it in the shingle, where my constable here found it. Precisely where you and your girlfriend had been searching for
it. She is not my girlfriend.
Oh. Pity. You're going to need all the memories you can hang on to where you're going. Now, let's worry about the handbag for a moment, shall we? What did it contain that was worth killing for, Mr. Rolt? You wish to make a statement?
All I want to do is to tell you exactly what happened.
Get this down, Constable.
Whilst I was away on a computer course in Manchester, my immediate boss, Dr. Frank Morgan, blew himself up in the laboratory at C&M Chemicals whilst trying to neutralize a very nasty acid called...
It's odd, John, but I've got an I've been here before feeling. It must be peculiar.
Well, not really. This view of the Gloria Dean is exactly as we saw her when we watched the film shot by Captain Olsen. The men dumping toxic waste over the starboard rail there.
That's it. immediately above the place where Bates fell into the dock and drowned. What's the matter? Something wrong?
I have an idea. Pull to the side of the ship, Peter.
And then, of course, you arrived in your size 9s precisely at the moment when Eleanor Jones and I had found the handbag. The only thing we could do under the circumstances was to bury it again and return for it later. And when I did return, this time with my wife, Maggie, you were waiting for me, having already discovered Julia's handbag buried among the stones.
Only there's no microfilm, Mr. Rolfe.
Pardon?
I've examined the contents of this handbag very closely indeed, sir. And I can assure you, there's no microfilm.
Well, there has to be.
See for yourself. You see it, Mr. Rolfe? The all-important microfilm?
It has to be here somewhere.
Shall I tell you why it's not there, Mr. Rolfe? It's not there because the whole story is an elaborate invention to mask the fact that you attacked and robbed Julia Price and murdered Manuel Rodriguez, who came to her aid.
I didn't. You must believe me, Sergeant. Ask Maggie. She'll tell you that everything I've said is true.
I've no doubt your wife will tell me everything you've said is true. But that doesn't necessarily make it so, Mr. Rolfe. In the meantime, you'll be held on suspicion of murder.
What?
Take him away, Constable.
I demand to see my solicitor.
Plenty of time for that, after you've been formally charged.
4,500 and £5,000. And that is the very last penny I shall pay you, Captain Samuels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Saunderson. It's very kind, I'm sure. What with your young chemist arrested on suspicion of murder and the young woman about to die in hospital, seems our story is going to have a happy ending after all.
Die in hospital? What makes you say that Nurse Price is about to die in hospital?
Well, let me put it this way, Mr. Saunderson. Nurse Price had better die in hospital, because if she doesn't, she's going to wake up and say that your young chemist is telling her the truth. Then where will we be? Dumping of acid is one thing. Conspiracy to murder is something else entirely. A bunch of flowers and a gentle push in the right direction might not go amiss. What do you say, Mr. Saunderson? Do you want me to attend to it? It'll cost you, of course.
Stay out of my affairs, Captain Samuels. I'm in the mess I'm in, largely thanks to you. I'll find solutions to my own problems from now on, thank you very much.
Suit yourself, sir. I just thought I'd mention it. The Gloria Dean will be in international waters by this time tomorrow, so whatever happens, it won't affect me one way or t'other. I bid you good luck and good day, Mr. Saunderson.
Hoist the pilot flag, bosun! Let's get this rust bucket out of here!
I thought perhaps you might be interested to know why Abel Seaman Bates fell into the dock and drowned yesterday afternoon, Sergeant Hatfield.
Nothing to do with him being an epileptic.
Nothing at all. Epileptic he might have been, but he became unconscious and fell for an entirely different reason.
The reason being?
My assistant and I collected rust samples from the ship's side last night at a point directly below where we know the dumping exercise to have taken place, which coincides precisely with the point at which Bates was working.
So?
Well, there's a heavy concentration of dicetaphene disulfide in the rust scales we collected.
How does this relate to the death by drowning of Abel Seaman Bates?
Well, Bates was banging away with a descaling hammer, still ridding the ship of its incriminating rust on orders from the captain. He created quite a dust, and the chemical in the dust entered his lungs and quickly rendered him unconscious.
Whereupon he fell from his perch and drowned.
Precisely. Well, this gives me the evidence I need to move against Captain Samuels. But what I'd really like to know is on whose behalf was he doing the dumping?
Well, if a young chemist I've got locked up in the cells is to be believed, you needn't look further than C&M Chemicals at Eastern Dock. He knows the whole story. He works there.
What evidence has he got to support his claim?
None at all. It all comes down to a missing microfilm copy of a report written within the factory that blows the whistle on the whole operation.
Why have you got him locked up?
I thought he was involved in some way with this attack on the factory nurse. Maybe he jumped on her thinking that the missing report was in her possession. I simply don't know.
Well, one thing's for sure. He's not going to find the report while he's locked up in jail. And we need that report, Sergeant Hatfield.
Two visitors for you, Mr. Rolfe.
Oh, Harry.
5 minutes only.
Harry, you look so thin and pale. Are you getting enough to eat?
Turn it up, Maggie. I've only been here since last night. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi, Harry. What's new?
I'll tell you what's new. What did you see amongst the contents of Julia's handbag when we tipped it out onto my coat last night?
I don't understand. How do you mean, what did I see?
Think hard and list everything you remember.
Oh, comb, compact case, a bundle of soggy letters, a mirror, a Yale door key with a metal tag, a diary...
A Yale door key with a metal tag. I knew I'd seen it. And it wasn't there last night when Sergeant Hadfield emptied the bag on his desk.
Then why is it important?
Well, don't you see? It's the key to Julia's flat in Kingclear Avenue. And it's no longer in her handbag. Remember, Eleanor, you said, be careful, Harry. You're spilling bits down amongst the stones.
That's right, I did. I remember the noise amongst the stones. Mm. What's it all about?
Well, if the microfilm wasn't in Julia's handbag, maybe it's in her flat. Now, this is what I want the pair of you to do. Go out to Woolston Foreshore and try to find that key. You know exactly where we were, Eleanor, so you're in with a good chance. If you find it...
Right, lad. You're coming with me. Sorry, ladies, you'll have to excuse us. There's work to be done.
Where are we going?
To talk to your boss, Alan Saunderson, at C&M Chemicals. I'm going to confront him with this acid dumping story, and I want you to be there to tell me if he's less than honest with his answers. John Crabtree's issuing a restraining order on the Gloria Dean in the hope that he can make a prosecution stick. Now come along, time's wasting.
Go out to Woolston and do as I said. Okay?
Let go, Farrer!
Line's gone, Farrer!
Let go off!
Slow ahead.
Slow ahead, Captain.
Can I help you?
Sergeant Hadfield,
hello,
CID.
Hello, Harry.
Hello, Janet.
We're here to see Mr. Saunderson. Is he in his office?
No, he's not, I'm afraid. He went out some time ago.
Did he say where to, Janet?
Well, I'm not absolutely sure, Mr. Rolt. But he asked me to get him a bunch of flowers delivered here to his office. And then when they arrived, he just took them and left. So I think he might have been going to the hospital, you know, to visit Nurse Price.
Thank you, miss.
Oh, what is he doing to my nail?
No mind your nails. The tide is coming, and dig, Maggie, dig!
Oh, the water's flooding underneath the stones. We'll never find it.
Hey, don't move! I can see it. Don't move, you caught.
Where?
There! I can see the metal sack. Got it!
Oh! Now, how do we get past the police and guarding Julia's flat in Kingclear Avenue?
We don't have to. This isn't the key to Julia's flat. It's for apartment 49D, Folway Towers.
What?
See for yourself.
What can it mean?
There's only one way to find out.
This is Mr. Saunderson, officer. He's Nurse Price's employer. He's come to sit with her for a little while, if that's all right.
Yes, of course. But I'll go for a cuppa. Give me a shout if anything occurs. Yes, all right. Thank you, officer.
If you want anything, Mr. Saunderson, my office is just along the corridor.
Thank you, sister. Hello, Julia. It's me, Alan Saunderson. I've come to sit with you for a little while.
Ellen, I'm scared. What if someone catches us? We'll have breaking and entering to our list of charges and plead guilty to everything. Come on. There's no one here. Right. You try the bureau while I'll search the desk. What exactly am I searching for?
A piece of microfilm. Possibly in an envelope.
What is it? What is it, Maggie?
Here on the bureau. Look at this.
Well, now. So that's what's behind it all.
She's gone, Peter. The Gloria Dean has left her berth, the harbour master's office. We'll commandeer a launch and serve the restraining order on her before she clears the sound.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, I can't help you.
We can't let them get away. We have all the evidence we need to prosecute Captain Jack Samuels. The old villain mustn't be allowed to escape.
The pirate boat shall be yours the moment she gets back. But I doubt that she'll be in time to lay hands on Jack Samuels before he heads for the open sea.
Damn!
Julia as a toddler. Julia in her school uniform. Julia and Frank at the seaside in the park.
I had no idea. Julia Price is Frank Morgan's daughter.
And this isn't her flat, it's his. Julia was on her way here to collect the microfilm in order to finish what Frank had begun, but she couldn't get in because the key to the flat was in her handbag, which was on the floor of Harry's car.
You're right, Maggie, I'm certain you're right. A copy of the report has to be here somewhere. Search, Maggie, search.
Sergeant Hatfield, CID. It's important we see Julia Price immediately. She's in intensive care. Where is that?
Oh, it's on the second floor. But I'm not sure the sister will let you see her. You see, she has a visitor with her already. Her employer, Alan Saunderson, arrived a short while ago.
This way, Harry.
Dr. Merrick.
I got it! It's here, tucked into the corner of yet another photograph of Julia. Maggie, we found the microfilm report.
Right.
Who are you phoning?
Harry and Sergeant Hatfield are at Saunderson's office. They must know about this. Hello? This is Harry Rolt's wife speaking. Is Harry there, please? I must speak to him immediately. He's where? Thank you. Let's go.
Where?
The General Hospital.
I'm sorry it has to end like this, Julia. But there's a very great deal at stake here, I'm afraid. Frank Morgan should have minded his own business. And so should you. It will all be over quite quickly.
That'll do, Saunderson.
But it's terribly important that we speak to Sergeant Hatfield right away. Can you tell him that Mrs. Rolt and Eleanor Jones are here at reception and that we have information?
Oh, my God!
What is it? What's the matter?
Coming out of the lift. Alan Saunderson handcuffed to a policeman. Oh, and there's Harry and Sergeant Hatfield.
Forget it. The people we want are right here. Harry, what's happening?
Is Julia all right?
Yes, Julia's fine. I can't stop now. I'll explain later.
But we found the microfilm copy of Frank Morgan's report. It's here.
Right. We're going to need it. Follow me. We're going to the docks. If the case against Saunderson is to be made to stick, the Gloria Dean mustn't be allowed to sail.
But she already has sailed. That's her out there heading for the horizon.
What happened to the restraining order?
We couldn't serve it. By the time they'd issued it, the Gloria Dean was already downriver and heading for the open sea.
Well, why didn't you chase after them in a launch or something?
The only deep water boat available is the pilot launch, and it was out in the Sound waiting to bring the pilot in from the Gloria Dean. The moment it comes back, the launch is ours, but it's too late.
We'll never catch up with them now.
The Gloria Dean has slipped through our fingers, I'm afraid.
Is this the launch coming in now?
What do you think, Mr. Crabtree? Shall we give it a try and go after him?
It's hopeless, Sergeant. We'll never catch them now. Captain Jack Samuels lives to dump another day, I fear.
Mind your backs! Stretcher coming ashore!
Who's your casualty? Has there been an accident?
Man took sick with stomach pains. Had to bring him ashore so his ship could sail. The first mate assumed command to take her on her way.
You mean the sick man was the captain?
That's right, sir. Captain Jack Samuels of the Gloria Dean. In a terrible bad way he is.
Stand clear!
Right, stand clear then, lads.
I'll soon have you.
My God! Oh, my God! Oh.
What do you think, Mr. Crabtree?
Looks like a bad case of diazepine disulfide poisoning to me.
I know it's not funny, but can't help laughing, can you?
In Who Me, the cast were Harry Rolt, David Timpson, Maggie, Moya Leslie, Eleanor Jones, Helena Breck, Alan Saunderson, Jeffrey Whitehead, Captain Samuels, John Hollis, Captain Olson, Richard Tate, Sergeant Hatfield, Joe Dunlop, John Crabtree, Jeffrey Beavers, and Peter Jackson, Ken Cumberledge. Bosun, Christopher Scott, Janet and the receptionist, Rebecca Jones, Maisie and the nurse, Catherine Alexander. The play was written by Michael Davis and directed by Jerry Jones.